And looking through my notebook, I found some brief notes given to me by Mr. George Davison years ago, and I've entitled them An Outline of Matthew's Gospel. I think I'll just read them onto the tape as I've got them written. The principal divisions of this gospel seem to be chapters 1 to 4, 5 to 7, 8 to 9, 10 to 12, 13 to 18, 19 to 23, 24 to 25, 26 to 28. Chapters 1 to 4. First, we have recorded the events from the Lord's birth to the commencement of his public ministry. Chapter 1 records his birth of the seed of David to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. See Romans 15, verse 8. Chapter 2, he is owned as king and honored as such. All events of lowliness found in Luke's gospel are omitted here. In Luke, he is the vessel of grace. Here, the vessel of promise, the king, and honored as such. Chapter 3 shows his way being prepared by John Baptist according to prophecy, culminating in his own baptism and official anointing in view of his public ministry. One thing remains: is he capable of bringing in the blessing of his people? So in chapter 4, we see him tested and completely victorious over the enemy. He overcomes as man, son of David and son of man. The three spheres he fills and which are developed in this gospel. Chapters 5 to 7. In these chapters, we have the king setting before the disciples the principles of the kingdom, and at this early date, presenting it in view of his rejection. In Matthew, the kingdom is always looked at as at hand, never as set up. He is prepared for his rejection, and so he prepares his disciples. Chapters 8 to 9. In chapter 5 to 7, we have the word of the kingdom. In these two chapters, the power of the kingdom. First, the word to show the moral principles, then the demonstration of the power which will affect it. Everything is now ready to set up the kingdom. He has proved his power to bring it in. Chapter 10. Hence we find in chapter 10, he commissions his disciples to go and proclaim it as at hand. They have both the authority to preach the word and exercise the power, verses 7 and 8. Yet again he prepares them for rejection. This is the gospel the remnant will take up at the close of this present dispensation. See, for instance, verse 23, verses 40 to 42, with chapter 25, verse 31, etc. Chapters 11 to 12. As foreshadowed by the Lord to the disciples in chapter 10, so we find in chapter 11, the testimony is rejected. Hence we find the Lord upbraiding the cities where the mightiest, greatest testimony had been rendered. But they rejected it. And by rejecting the gospel, reject him. The king is in rejection. But worse is to follow. For in chapter 12, he rejects them. Solemn that they reject him, but how terrible that he rejects them. The Lord warns them of the seriousness of the road they were going, referring, I think, to the stoning of Stephen, verses 31 to 37. Then, in the picture of his mother and his brethren, breaks his links with Israel after the flesh. This is the main division of the gospel. Note, for the first time in this chapter, they take counsel to destroy him. Verse 14. Chapters 13 to 18. We have now a fresh start, and in this section, that which covers this present dispensation. What we have in the sower is a fresh start in a larger sphere. He leaves the house, Israel, and sits by the seashore, the Gentiles. See, for instance, Acts 10, verse 6. In the parables the Lord propounds, he shows the progress of the kingdom in its present mystery form during his absence. That it follows his death is clear, for it is his field, verses 24 and 31. A field, verse 34, becomes his field, verses 24 and 31. He bought it by his blood. Now we have the Lord in the outside place, chapter 14. Herod's court pictures the world. The lust of the flesh, verse 3. The lust of the eye, verse 6. And the pride of life, verse 9. But the Lord is outside. Verse 13. And all who sought him followed him and joined him in the desert. The head, verse 19, the priest, verse 23, the Lord, verse 28. As such, head, priest, and Lord, he is able to support his own in the outside place. Chapter 15 shows the transfer from Judaism to Christianity. No longer a question of meats and drinks, but man's moral state. Next, in chapter 16, we have the revelation of the church, based upon his death, which he mentions for the first time in this chapter. If, in the ways of God, he is put to death, it but opens the way for the purpose of God in the church. In chapter 17, he shows to the three disciples the kingdom in glory, so that if it is not set up in manifestation here, Christ is glorified above. In chapter 18, we have instructions how to treat one another as left here. The church is seen in responsibility, hence we have the church in the kingdom. The church in chapter 16, the kingdom in chapter 17. Chapters 19 to 23. We have in these chapters the public presentation of the king to Israel, according to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Then we see how the events of Zechariah 11 are fulfilled. He commences with the leaders. We have three parables brought out, the two sons, the vineyard, the marriage feast. They cover first, from Sinai to Christ. Second, his presentation and rejection. Third, the rejection of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of God, of Christ, then of the Spirit, all rejected, ending in their city being burned up. Chapter 22, verse 7, and the gospel going to the Gentiles. Zechariah 11 should be compared at this point, for it sets forth what we have in these chapters right up to his death. The three shepherds of Zechariah, chapter 11, verse 5, we find are here. The Herodians, Sadducees, Pharisees. He loathed them, and they loathed him. Zechariah 11, verse 8. Then, after exposing them, he leaves the temple desolate, and the covenant is broken. Zechariah 11, verse 10. Chapters 24 to 25. See, for instance, Zechariah chapter 11, verse 11. The poor of the flock wait upon him for the word of the Lord. In these two chapters, the Lord unfolds the history of the nation and the events between his departure and his return. These two chapters are in three sections. So, chapter 24, 1 to 44, we have the history of Israel. From chapter 24, verse 45, to chapter 25, verse 30, the present period. Chapter 25, verse 31 to the end, the coming of the Son of Man. Chapters 26 to 28. We have first in this last section the last words of our Lord to his own. The supper here is linked with the Passover and goes out to all. Note, not for you, as in Luke, but for many. As to Judas, the disciples say, Lord, is it I? He says, Master. In comparing the Gospels as to these last acts, it can be seen that in Matthew we have the sin offering, in Mark the trespass offering, chapter 15, verse 28, in Luke the meal offering. Luke shows us that perfect man tested in the garden, but in Matthew we have Isaiah 53 carried through on the cross. Also Psalm 22. In the death of our Lord, we have many acts of power recorded here. That is, in consequence of his death. The veil is rent, graves open, the quaking earth, rent rocks, saints rise in power. Events that will yet be seen when he brings in the kingdom and power. Lastly, we have the resurrection. Here we have the woman taking hold of his feet. He will bring in salvation by subduing all beneath his feet. In Luke, we have hands and feet. In John, hands and side. He meets them in Galilee, the place he started from at the outset of this gospel. And after giving them their commission to preach and teach, in the light of that which was now revealed, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This gospel was carried on till the stoning of Stephen, when the gospel of the glory was brought in by Paul. The Lord's words are, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded. Say, for instance, chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. The law says, but I say, etc. Also, he is with them to the end. And so the gospel concludes. Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the King. Mark's gospel is the gospel of the servant. Luke's gospel is the gospel of the man. John's gospel is the gospel of the Son of God. He is, of course, all that he is in each of the gospels, albeit each individual gospel emphasizes some particular facet of his glory. Amen.